Listen, if you're glad to be in the house of the Lord today, I want everybody in this building to give the best hand clap you can give. Bigger than the Super Bowl, bigger than the World Series. Come on.
Well, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. My announcement was that this morning was donations for Abigail's mission trip. And we thank all of you that came out early and came over, made a donation. And we thank the Tuttles for making that happen. And we were just going to do bagels and donuts and coffee and stuff that we've done before. And they came and said, let us do our food truck. And we said, well, okay. So they did that, and they donated their time and their food, and we appreciate that so much. As you know, Abigail's getting ready to go on a mission trip all the way around the world to Canada. And so I'll tell you what, it's just as scary for parents, whether it's Canada or Africa, I think. But anyway, we're thankful for all of you that are helping her with that. And then so this afternoon, as Brother Gunderman already said, they'll be selling things, and this is to help them. They're going to actually make a donation to the church. I told them they don't need to do that, but they're insisting that they do that. But go over, if you can, go over and just enjoy. It's really nice. Somebody said this morning, we should do this all the time and just come and fellowship and talk with each other. And you know, maybe we can do it more often. But anyway, it's good to come over and just fellowship and be together. Y'all look great. You sound great. Thank you for being here in the house of the Lord on a beautiful Sunday morning. Isn't it gorgeous outside? Wow, this is wonderful July weather for Indiana. You just never know what you're going to get. And we're in the middle of gearing down now, camp season. And next week is family camp. As you know, services are 7:30 every night at family camp. Starts Monday night. Brother Strapp's preaching Monday night, Tuesday night. The ordination service, inviting you all that's able. If you're able, come up to the campgrounds. I'll be ordained that night, looking forward to a great night of celebration. We'd love you to be there. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night's camp. We'll have service here on Wednesday night. If you want to come here or you want to go to camp, you take your pick. But be in church. Amen. Go somewhere. And 7:30. We are so blessed. My wife and I consider it such an honor, such a blessing to have the influence and the leadership of our guests in our lives. Brother and Sister Hackler are not just our friends, they are our pastor and our confidant. They are a great, they make a great impact, have for many years on our lives, and we just appreciate them so much. I was thinking this morning, there's just some people, they can just kind of come through your life every once in a while. They just kind of come through, and it's just kind of like, you remember Brother Utterback? Brother Utterback had this smooth way about him. He could be in the pulpit preaching. In the middle of his preaching, his hair, he always slicked his hair back. And it would kind of start getting down on his face. And he would just say, everybody close your eyes and worship the Lord. And he had it down to a science. He could whip that comb out while you were worshiping, eyes closed. I was a kid. I kept my eyes open. But I would see him. Every hair back in place, 5 seconds. When you opened your eyes, wow, it looked like you'd been in, you know, went back and got ready again. But there are some people that can just come through your life every once in a while, and they just by their presence, they just kind of put things back in place. They just kind of help, they just say something or notice something or speak a word, and it just kind of puts things in place. And these are those kind of people. They are just terrific people. And I'm so thankful that God has placed them in our lives and in the lives of this church. We're a better church by their influence. We really are. And we love it when they come through. We love it when he preaches. Don't you love the ministry of Brother and Sister Hackler? And somebody's already requested that he sing his song. You know the song. I didn't even have to tell him what song. And he said, I think he's going to do that for us this morning. They're going to be back tonight, by the way. So I just felt led. We had him this morning, and I felt led to call and see if they could stay and preach tonight. And so they're going to do that very graciously. They've got plans starting tomorrow, but they said they would stay around tonight. And that we're so blessed by that. So we just love them. Would you welcome Brother Hackler to the pulpit this morning? Come preach the word, brother.
We love you, my friend.
Thank you,
brother.
Bless you.
Well, glory. Amen. You may be seated for a few minutes. Talk about Brother Utterback. I tell you, I have to be careful when I come to this area. I get to reminiscing. I remember going to Brother and Sister Utterback's house and walking in, and there was a big, thick book on his table. And on the front of it said, Everything I've Learned About Pastoring. And when you open it up, it's all blank pages. I could have wrote that book. Amen. But you know, pastoring is one of the greatest privileges that there is. Amen. It has its challenges, obviously. But when God calls us, he equips us. And, you know, everything's not smooth. But we're in the people business. Anybody know any people that's not quite perfect? My favorite, I'll get serious in a minute, okay? My favorite story is this guy was in the pulpit and he said, talk about being perfect. He said, does anybody here know anybody was perfect? So way over here, there's a little bitty shriveled up guy, you know, stand up. Said, yeah, I knew somebody's perfect. He said, who? Says, my wife's first husband. So it's kind of like, you know, after you get married, nobody could cook like mom could. I told you I have to be careful, but anyhow, it's great to be in Ellisville. It's our pleasure and honor. Amen. From a long ways ago, we've been gone from Bloomington for 42 years. So we were in Bloomington, I think, pastored 9 years. And I'm not sure, but I think some of you folks have been here that long. Anybody that's been here over 42 years or more? Okay. Now, since we were here, we've been married another year. We celebrated 59 years, and we're headed for 60. I'm a year older. But I'm not the only one that's a year older. And I can't believe he's a grandpa. Five times? My goodness. But here we are today. Amen. I believe I have a message today. And I'll go do my best to deliver it to you. But I'm going to ask my wife to come and play for me if I'm going to sing. I had thought I wouldn't sing. I'm afraid you guys get tired of me singing. Oh, careful, I'll get a big head here. Because I am not a singer. But I try. You what? You want some water? Oh, it's on its way. Amen. We had a revival. Now, some of you know we used to pastor in Broadview. We had a revival with a fella. And now, this don't happen now, Brother Hawkins, but we had to go to the bus station to pick our evangelist up. He didn't have a car. And when we went to get him, he'd been on drugs. He had, his glasses were about that thick, looked like Coke bottles. And he couldn't see to read, so his wife read the Bible to him. And she was afflicted and couldn't comb her hair, so he combed her hair. They made a pretty good team. But he reminded me of me, okay, because he said the first time he ever sang in church afterwards, the musician come to him and said, Brother, his name was Gallagher. Brother Gallagher said, I can play on the white notes. And I can play on the black notes, but I can't play in the cracks. So anyhow, it's best if you tell the musician ahead of time what key it's going to be.
Is there a drummer here, too?
Yeah, over there.
Oh, okay. You got him in a cage. Good. I'm going to testify this morning.
Don't mess with me.
But, I don't know, a year or two ago, maybe 3 years ago, time's elusive, but my husband said to me, I've just sung that song so much, I'm just going to quit singing it. And sometime before that, I might have agreed with him, I don't know. But that day, I said, well, really, that's kind of your theme song. People know you by it, and any place we go, somebody will say it's real.
Yeah. Well, praise God. Most of you know this song was written by a lady been singing it 40 years, and I still use the words, so amen. Written by a lady that was a Church of Christ. She went to Bryce Harbor in Arkansas, a little town called Zach, Arkansas. They said you had to go down this gravel road, and then you went a little bit farther, and that's where it was. But when she went home, she was Pentecost. How about that? And the song is actually her story of being saved that night. Okay. When first I heard of Pentecost, thought it was a shame that such unholy teaching would be done in Jesus' name. They said it was in the Bible. I did not want to doubt, so I went right down to see them and to hear them sing and shout. Well, it's real. Sing it. I know it's real. Pentecostal blessing, and I know it's real. Well, it's real. I know it's real. Pentecostal blessing. No, I know it's real. Some were singing, some were shouting, some were prostrate on the floor. They were shouting hallelujah from the pulpit to the door. Some were shaking, others quaking, as one by one they fell. When I saw that lady shout, I thought she'd had a spell. But it's real. I know it's real. Pentecostal blessing. Oh, I know it's real. Well, it's real. I know it's real. No, I know it's real. Well, I sit a little longer, wondering what my folks would say. I knew they didn't like it, this Pentecostal way. 'Cause just a day or two ago, I heard my daddy say, when he got religion, he didn't act this way. But it's real. I know it's real. Oh, well, it's real. I know it's real. Pentecostal blessing. No, I know it's real. Now, don't worry, I'm not leaving, okay? Oh, hallelujah. I got to go back here and hug my old buddy right here from a long time ago. 45 years. Oh, Lord, I baptized her. It must have been, must have stuck.
I think so.
Yeah. This lady was sitting in the back row, pretty sure. 'Cause here's what she said. She said, I started to the altar 'cause I had hunger. That's Holy Ghost hunger, wasn't it? Down in my soul. And I didn't care who saw me. Wow, that's part of the clue right there. You can just forget everybody else but you and Jesus. She said, I didn't care who saw me, 'cause it was a spirit that made me go. That's, you got to do this. Now, you know the rule, you know. That's when I raised my hands toward heaven. That's when I let God have his way. And praise the Lord, he saved me in the Pentecostal way. Well, it's real. I know it's real. Pentecostal blessing. No, I know it's real. Well, it's real. I know. Pentecostal blessing. Oh, well, it's real. I know it's real. nothing costs no blessing. Well, it's real. I know it's real. Nothing costs no blessing, and I know it's real. Oh, let's love our God tonight. Hallelujah, this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory to the King. Amen. Praise God forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for your worship, for your, the early church attracted a lot of people. It wasn't their buildings or their fine preaching, it was their worship. One songwriter said, I went there to fight, but oh, on that night, something got a hold of me. How many remember when something got a hold of you? Amen. There's another song that said, Jesus got hold of my life and he won't let me go. Amen. And I'll give you another little clue, okay? It's a good thing to get the Holy Ghost, but it's a better thing to let the Holy Ghost get you. It'll set your direction. Amen. It'll put you on the course. Well, thank you, Pastor Hawkins, for allowing us to be here. And now, I've told him this and you this 100 times probably. But when he got that lady, he got a good one right there. I told Amen. And she didn't do too bad either, okay? I mean, they I think they both had pretty good judgment. Amen. And it's great to just follow people through the Lord. I remember Brother Axum so well. Amen. And a lot of you, of course, are set under Brother Axum. We used to have, when I pastored in Bloomington, we'd have we call it a youth week, okay? But there was about 5 churches, and we'd have youth week, and each pastor would preach one night. That way the other churches kind of got acquainted with the pastors. But a couple of things I remember about Brother Axum coming to the church one time, and he'd change the pulpit from one end to the other. Who does that? And then we was having that youth week one night. I remember Brother Edwards, Brother Reinhardt, burned a bunch of us there, Brother Balt, Brother Martin. Anyhow, Brother Axum decided, wanted to kind of, I don't know for sure what he called it. Anyhow, he made us all take our ties off. Can you imagine that? A bunch of preachers would take their ties off. And he'd even walk around and mess your hair up. If you didn't love Brother Axum, something was wrong with you, I'll tell you that. Amen. What a wonderful privilege to be part of the church. We're going to the book of Amos. If you want to restand now, we're going to the book of Amos for a fairly lengthy reading, not maybe too much, but Amos chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading at verse 6. And we'll have it on the screen, I think, right? Okay. I'll read from here, assuming, or I could read from up there. Amen. Now notice, I want you to really notice what these scriptures say. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. Now, let me stop there just a minute. It's generally considered if you had cleanness of teeth, you didn't have anything to eat. In other words, there had been a famine. God's saying what I've done, okay? And want of bread in all your places. Yet, everybody say yet. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 7. Also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, cause it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereon it rained not withered. Okay? So 2 or 3 cities wandered into one city. Can you imagine this? 2 or 3 cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. And everybody knows water satisfies when Coke won't do it, right? Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. This is a theme through here. Yet you have not. I've done this, but here's what you haven't done. Verse 9. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, and when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Okay, verse 10. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet, everybody say yet again. Have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Okay. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were as a firebrand plucked out of burning. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. Verse 12. Therefore, now listen, let me give you another little clue. Not that you don't know this, okay? But any time you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Oh, I feel that. Hallelujah. I'm just being sure you're all awake right now, okay? If you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. And you can look back. I've already read all that to you. But he said, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now I'm going to read another verse, but then we're coming back to this. Verse 13 said, for lo, he that formeth the mountains, createth the winds, declared unto man what is of his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Now remember that word hosts, okay? We're going to go back to that a little bit. Now back to verse 12. The last phrase, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And if the Lord will help me, I'm going to minister unto you this thought, the unavoidable meeting. Or the inevitable meeting. Now, I looked the word inevitable. I got up early this morning. You know, you don't just walk to a place, start preaching. There's something goes ahead of it. There's a lot of preparation you guys never see. Now, you know it's there because you can tell it. But you don't see it. Sometimes it's the alone time between us and God. But I looked the word inevitable up. And it's inevitable is unavoidable. And this blows my mind, okay? The dictionary says it's something that's unable to be avoided. Or it's certain to happen. And let me say this. This particular meeting I'm going to be talking about, you can't call in sick. You can't get somebody else to take your place. You can't buy your way out of it. It's going to happen. So this is when we get very, very serious, friend. There is going to be a meeting one of these days. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. Well, if that was all of it, that wouldn't be so bad. But he said, and after that is the judgment. So we are in a very important place today. God help us to be and to comprehend, including this guy, what it's all about. You know, Brother Dwight Harden. I'm already getting on the side road, okay? We was with Brother Harden about a month ago, and he was singing a new song he'd written. And I don't remember the song, but I remember the chorus. And here it is. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about the man from Galilee. That stayed in my mind all night. I think I woke up thinking about that. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. But it's all about that man. From Galilee. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for the privilege Oh, God, that we have to be in this service today. Thank you for your blessings, your mercy, and your goodness. Now we ask, Lord, you would anoint us somehow with your mercy, God, and your spirit. Bless this service. Give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. Oh, God, may we have a made-up mind. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. There's many things that happen to us in life. Some of them are important, and a lot of them aren't. Amen. And if we're not careful, we can be caught up in the things that aren't important. Amen. I remember several years ago, I really got, I don't know what the word is. Anyhow, I read in the newspaper where there was a basketball player. I can't call his name now. It seemed like it was Johnson or Jackson. Anyhow, he got fined $25,000 because he wore a jersey, had the wrong number on it. Then later, he got fined $10,000 because he wore the wrong size, wore the wrong color shoes in a ball game. And that just aggravated me. Because I was pastoring people living on $300 and $400 a month. And it aggravated me. I might even had a bad spirit. I'm not sure. But it seemed like God, and I give God the credit, said, that's none of your business. You can't do anything about that. So I decided I need to find out something I can do something about. Amen? There are some things that we can do something about. Now, this scripture said, prepare. Now, you're going to have the meeting. You already got an appointment somewhere. It is appointed unto man once to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. See? Hallelujah. So, what we got to do, you know, there are so many things. I could mention some things today, but I'm afraid if I mention some of them, your mind's going to go on a journey and I'll lose you, okay? Because when we talk about politics and everything, amen, it goes a long way. But I want to talk to us about something that we can do something about, amen. You see, Israel had plenty of chances. God sent them this, and he sent them that. This didn't wake them up. Now, God has always given us a chance. Now, the Bible says, I think in Ecclesiastes, time and chance happens to us all. Amen. But, you know, amen, in the garden, said, don't eat this. He warned them. Amen. What about the flood? Noah preached for what? Long time. They were warned. Amen. Amen. And I don't find any place where I never found any place that they threw rocks at the ark or wrote graffiti on it. They just ignored it. Hello? Amen. So you might think this is unnecessary and having to go to church every week two or three times unnecessary. No. It's what keeps us solid, and that's what drives your roots deep. If you want to stand against a storm, you need some roots that go deep. Hallelujah, because you are going to face a storm. Chances are there's several in here today that you might be in the storm of your life. Sometimes I'm a little, what do you call me? Well, bad question. Just be sure and call me in time for supper, okay? But anyhow, oh, well, let me get back to what I need to talk about. Amen. Life is full of meetings, appointments. Anybody have an appointment last week? Do you have a meeting anywhere? Amen. We have schedules. You're even talking about a camp meeting. We have committee meetings. We have club meetings, we have school meetings, and we have appointments with dentists, doctors, lawyers. Anybody? Huh? Now, you don't have to tell me why you went to the doctor, but did you go? Okay. Amen. But all of these meetings require Preparation. Now what, this is a quiz now, okay? Everybody ready for a quiz? What is the main thing you always do before you go to the doctor? Somebody. Huh? Take a bath. Come on, guys. I'll give you a B minus on that. Okay, now ask Sister Hawkins this. What do you need to do before you go to the dentist? Brush your teeth. She gets an A plus. Amen. Anybody ever go to the lawyer? You know, lots of times when you go in there, they got this little timer on the desk and they start it ticking because you're going to pay so much a minute. I would advise you, before you go to the lawyer, get your facts straight. Huh? You got to prepare. These things don't just happen. Amen. And if you ever got audited by the IRS, I never did. I've talked to some guys that I thought they was, oh, please forgive me. I thought they were pert near smart alecks. They said, well, if the IRS ever audits me, I'm just going to throw all my receipts in a box and say, here they are. No, you're going to have to get your ducks in a row. Because if you're going to present some things, you got to prepare. And then I could say what we're doing today. Preaching and teaching. Take study. Had a phone call recently. We had a grandson that wants to get married. Now, I don't know why the guys always have the girls call and ask the preacher. Do you? I haven't figured that one out yet. And she wasn't relative. She was marrying a grandson. I said, sure, I'd be happy to marry you. Well, so it went a long time. Finally, they sent us a date. And then still nothing for a long time. And I called them on the phone. I said, you know what? We ought to talk a little bit before this happens. We need a little bit of counseling ahead of time. There's some things you guys really ought to talk about before you get married. Hello? You know, at least a few things. Figure out, well, I'm getting too far. Amen. And you know, you do got to get a license. You understand that, don't you? And we got to have a place to get married. And do you want a rehearsal? You know. So anyhow, all of those things go together to make these appointments or these meetings. I think you get the idea. I don't want to really belabor the thing. Amen. But everything requires. Amen. You remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David and Goliath? You remember? And Goliath, he rebelled and he challenged, amen, the God of Israel. Send me a man. And if he kills me, we'll serve you. But if I kill him, amen. And you remember everybody was kind of, even Saul, he backed away. And then here come David. Amen. He said, is there not a cause? But see, there was a few things behind the scenes that we didn't know. Of course, they put all this armor on him. And you know, I'm not real good at illustration, but it's like little David. The more you put the shield on him, the more you stacked all that armor on him, he couldn't hardly move. He said, this is not going to work. He said, I haven't proved this stuff. But you know what? There's something he had proved. And when he finally came to his own, they said, "What? You're just a lad." He said, well, I'll tell you what. There was a lion, and there was a bear. And then when the showdown finally come up, amen, Goliath come out there, I'm going to feed you to the birds or something like that. And David said, I'm going to feed you the birds. Anyhow, the bottom line was, the Bible said David reached down and got 5 stones. Now, you know, we've preached about that for years. Sometimes said the 5 stones, stands for J-E-S-U-S. And somebody else said, oh, no, said Goliath had four brothers. I don't know why he chose five. I do know two things for sure. David used what everybody else had been trampled under. So when your friends and so on and so forth out there question the fact of you living right, dressing right, going to church, they've discarded that. All those other brothers just trampled those stones under their feet. Hey, listen, we're not playing church today. Amen. And somebody may say, oh, you don't need to do that anymore. Well, guess what? I'm going to do it anyhow. There's a great cloud of witnesses behind me. So David reached down and picked up that stone. Probably one of his other brothers would stumble over it or something, you know. But another little thing we learned from history is swords had been banned from the country. So they didn't know how to use a sword, but they'd learned to use the sling. And he knew. Plus, he said, you come to me with a sword and a steel, sword and a shield and whatever else it was. Said, but I come to you in what? The name of the Lord of hosts. Now, I told you to remember that word host, because I looked it up too. Now, I don't do the Greek, but I do the English, okay? He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The host can mean five things. A host is an army. I'm glad the leader of my army has never lost a battle. Hallelujah. Amen. A host is also one who receives guests. He's the host of the party. How many of us are glad that Jesus was the host? I came to him, didn't have anything to offer. Just heartaches and tears, shattered life, so many mistakes that it just couldn't have been counted. But he received me unto him. Hallelujah. Did you know you can't hide anything from God? You just well confess, because he knows it anyhow. Amen. And confession is good. You don't have to confess to me or the pastor, but you better confess to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And then another thing the host is a provider of sustenance. In other words, we had a host this morning for breakfast. See there? We had, it was provided. You remember the story when Abraham took Isaac to the mountain? Amen. Remember that? And Abraham was ready to do what God said. We see the picture with the knife. Amen. Ready to sacrifice his son. Lots of times, saints, there's things you don't have to do, but you got to be willing to do it. Amen? And so he was willing, and God stopped him. Don't do it. Now I know, he said. And then he turned around and caught in the thicket. See, it was a sacrifice. And that's where this term Jehovah Jireh comes in. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He is the God of plenty. He is the God of providing. Amen. Another thing a host is the recipient of a transplant. Anybody here ever get a transplant? I mean, you don't have to tell me, don't want to. But if you receive like a heart or a lung, or I had a friend receive a pancreas, he got a pancreas and he's not diabetic anymore. He'd been diabetic since he's a kid. Amen. Aren't you glad? Now, I know this don't fit exactly in that, but aren't you glad you got a new heart one day? My. God took out that old stony heart. I'll tell you what, I can't thank the Lord enough. Amen. I tried to change, tried to turn over a new leaf, make all them resolutions. But you know what? It wasn't about me or you. It's not about me. It's all about the man from Galilee. I'm glad when I started towards the Lord, I took one step towards him and he took two steps towards me. My friend, you do need to take that first step. Hallelujah. God will meet you. Amen. Yes, he is. Oh, there is one other thing that is a host called a host, and that's a communion bread. It's called the host. Amen. And anyhow, he is the Lord of hosts. You remember Daniel? So David knew he was good with the sling. You remember Daniel? Now, I'm not going to keep you here all morning, but you remember Daniel? He defied the king's decree. The Bible said when he heard of the king's decree, he went in and as before. Now, I've heard the story said he threw up the window. Well, I'm not sure there was a window to throw up. But at least he moved the canvas and prayed. Amen. As before. Well, if you look into that, he'd been praying for 69 years. I'm not going to throw 69 years worth of praying just because the old king makes a decree. Hallelujah. He had prepared, friend. He had prepared as before. So he didn't wait until it was needed. Amen. Somebody said God closed the lion's mouth. Somebody else said he gave him lockjaw. Amen. But I'll tell you what, Daniel was delivered. Can you say praise the Lord? So I'm talking to you today about a meeting that you cannot avoid, a meeting that is inevitable. Amen. And I've already mentioned the scripture in Hebrews 9:27. You can put that up there if you want to. It's a very, very well-known scripture. Amen. And it is appointed unto men. And that's women too, okay? Come on. Whether you agree or not, it's the truth. Amen. It's appointed unto men and women once to die. But after that, there is a judgment. It's not just all over then. Amen. There is going to be a judgment. But did you know, this is my feeling anyhow, if this pastor don't agree with it, he'll straighten it out later, okay? That we that judge ourselves every day are not going to have to stand in the judgment. Because we are allowing ourselves to be judged every day. And when that trumpet sounds, guess who's going to leave the ground? Amen. It's not because just that morning we said, well, I better straighten up. No, we've been doing it. Now, if you get saved today and the rapture happens today, you can still go. I'm not putting you out. I'm not keeping you out if you haven't served God for 50 years. But I'm telling you, amen, the best advice I can give you today is prepare to meet your God. Prepare. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Now, I have just about one more thing to say, maybe two. Then we're going to ask you to stand for an altar service. But I wrote something down this morning as I was studying. We're staying with our son Aaron, which we do when we're down here usually. And I wrote, guess what? And then I was sitting at his desk, okay? I rummaged around and found a yellow highlighter. And I highlighted those two words. Guess what? Let's see what I wrote. This meeting can be a good meeting. Huh? I'm not painting a bad picture today. I'm telling you, it can be bad. Because God basically has two faces. Now, God is not two-faced. He shows you both of them. Hello? He shows you both of them. I want to meet God in peace. And that's strictly up to me. But if I don't, I'm still going to meet God. So you're going to have this meeting, friend. You know, this may be oversimplified for you, and you've heard it for years, but it's just what I felt like emphasizing to this group today. There is going to be a meeting. There is going to be an appointment. Now, it probably won't be today, but you know, I've seen the time you go to church in the morning, and that night somebody was gone. They went out to meet the turning. Could be me, could be you. Amen? Hopefully not. I'm having too good a time. I want to have another good time. But heaven will be worth it. Huh? Don't we enjoy being part of the church? Don't you enjoy this fellowship? And you know, the thing about being part of the church is you just feel good. Isn't it good to just walk in the building and see people believe what you believe and your friends, and you know that they're for you and they're not judging you all the time. Amen. I got a friend, a member of the church in Frankfurt, and he's an ex-con. But I don't know how he did it, but as an ex-con, they didn't let him go to the prisons to give church services and even the local jail. But anyhow, I was talking to him one day, and he said, yeah, his voice, you ever know him, he talked like this. If he calls you on the phone, you never wonder who it is. He used to drive a semi, and he'd call me from the road. You could almost feel that semi bouncing. You could hear the roar of it, and he'd say, Pastor Hackler, I knew who it was. But anyhow, he told me one day, he said, some people think I'm a preacher. He said, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher. He said, I'm just a beggar that found some bread. Woo! I've thought about that time and time and time again. Just a beggar, Pastor. That found some bread. Who am I? Hey, friend, I'm not worthy to feel what I feel right now. That thing's moving up and down my back. Woo! I feel like the hair is standing up on my back, on my head. My wife says, it is, but anyhow. Well, I need to do that trick you used on my... I'm thinking of too much. I gotta hold back here just a little bit. Anyhow, let me tell you, this is serious stuff. Now, I am just going to say one other thing. I don't know if you want to go to music or what, but I had an experience some time back. And Monday morning, you know, preachers pay bills on Monday morning usually. I'd sat down and wrote a lot of checks. And I don't have a lot of money, but I certainly have enough because God sees to that. But anyhow, I drove up. Now, when I go to the bank, I get out and walk in because Brother Pugh said, never take an elevator if you can take the stairs. And don't park right up against the store, park way out and walk in. He's telling preachers how to get a little bit of exercise because we do a lot of desk work. Anyhow, so I drive up to the drop box at the bank or at the post office, and I put four checks in the mail. Two of them was for health insurance, one for me and one for her. They won't let me put them both in the same envelopes. What's that all about? So I used two stamps when I pay. One of them was for car insurance, and one of them was for homeowners insurance. So I put five checks in the bank. Four of them were for insurance. And I thought, Well, that's a lot of money for something I may never need. So if I would go to that effort, come on, you're getting ahead of me now. If I go for that effort for something I may never use, how about me putting a little investment? He cut out of a more shantai in my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand, would you please? How about me put some investment in something I know I'm going to need? Friend, it's not avoidable. It's unavoidable. It's inevitable. It is going to happen. Okay, one more thing, okay? You remember back in the days of the 10 plagues, the last plague was, amen, the death angel. And the father was told to get you a lamb, pin it up from the 10th to the 14th day. Now you're going to have this lamb back there for 4 days. Now, the common belief is it was put there to make sure it didn't have any blemishes. Well, that's okay, but my cast off on it is he had the lamb 4 days ahead so he'd have it when he needed it. And I think, okay, if he'd pinned it up the 10th day, the 11th of the month, I'm pretty sure the father would say, son, go out back, see if it's still there. And then the next day, son, go back and check it out. And the son come in and say, still there, Dad? Woo, hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Because I'm going to need that lamb. You're going to need the lamb. I was invited to preach a Good Friday service in a Trinity church, Trinity Methodist Church in Frankfort. And I said, sure. Hallelujah. And God gave me a message, and the name of the message was, The Lamb is My Shepherd. Ooh, did I have fun. We had a lady in the church, she's about 90 years old. And I was just kidding the church. I said, now I'm going to preach in this Trinity church on Friday night. I need some amenners. Well, guess what? They came, and she, every once in a while she'd say, amen. But it kept everybody awake. Hallelujah. Amen. So, here we go. I'm going to get my lamb, and I'm going to check it's still there, because I'm going to need it. I'm going to need it. Let's pray again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Help us, Lord, today to realize that this is the most important thing we're going to do today. God, and not to leave this building, not to leave this service, amen, until we're sure that we had made proper preparation, amen, for this meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of course, the short version of being prepared is Acts 2:38. Repentance, water baptism, Jesus' name, being filled with the Holy Ghost. But let me give you just another clue. Don't let that first act of repentance. Now, you're probably just going to need to be baptized once. You're probably just going to need to be filled with the Holy Ghost once, or you get refilled. But that act of repentance needs to be a part of your life from now on out. And listen, no crocodile tears, okay? Don't just repent and be sorry because you got caught. Be sorry because you made the mistake. Ask God to forgive you and do your best not to do it anymore. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Hackler.
the most important thing you will do in this life, no matter how long you live, is your response to this message. The Bible lets us know that it's appointed. We know we have an appointment, but it does not tell us when. None of us know when. And that's the thing that should keep all of us very alert. The rapture could take place. But beside that, we don't have a promise of another breath, let alone another day. We don't have a promise of another hour. And there are countless stories of people walking away from services saying, you know, not today. I want to be ready, but not today. I'll do it another time. And what a sad thing to be said your last time in church, another time. Not today, another time. We've heard the word of God. We've heard it from the man of God. We've heard an anointed message today. And I think it would be wise for all of us to respond to this message today, whether you're in the church for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, or you've never made the decision to serve God. I want to make sure that lamb's there, don't you? Amen. Come on, why don't we respond to this message today? Find you a place. Come around this altar and pray. Make an altar out of your chair. If you're able to kneel, you should kneel. If you can't, at least sit and pray today. Let's make our calling and our election sure. When you walk out that door today, you say, well, there's no way of being sure. No, that's not biblical. You can be sure that you're ready to meet your God. Come on, be sure today. Thank you, Jesus. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name.